Yo, what up, man? Yo, what chorus you want me to do? You said you want me to do a chorus? Which one? On which song?
Deal with bounce. Yeah, it's a celebration. Bounce. Detail. Celebration of life. The NRC. Yeah, yeah. Smoke a needle. The whole world threw it up. Little kids. Peep game. Yeah, yeah. Hold tight. This ain't the last I'ma see you. Due time, that's my word, I'ma see you. Frontin' ass rappers down here still an issue. Posing like they hard when we know they all see through. I'ma tell you, dealer, why they lacking skills, pal. No stage presence, cadence, style. They living off of hooks, skinny jean crooks, pre-K lyrics. Like when I read a book, I reminisce when Mob dropped shook. Shan was down by law, such a good look. Nas Godson and his return with Stillmatic. Rooster Source in the static, you in slum fantastic. Thought I shot you out, son, see how you doing. Come back to earth, homie, hip-hop is in ruins. I'm a third of the tribe, but I'ma speak for the click. What up, though? We miss you, kid, Motor City say.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about you. I keep my head to the sky, cause I know Fife's there too. And when I get there, God willing, your music will move out of space. Y'all both left the mark, cause no one takes your place.
Yo, beat-wise, you still at cat, which most should be measured. I'm dead MC, known that she has displeasure with the route the game is taking. How mundane things have gotten. You know music on a whole, never mind just hip-hopping. I'm in the club 3 hours and change. DJ spinning top 40, we be hearing all day. Some MC's catalog, and yeah, they stay paid. But why pay over $1 when they lip-syncing on stage? King of Pop, Barry White, rolling over in the grave. Jones Girls, emotion saying, girl, back in our day. Dilla dude still biting, they wish to be like you. Producer extraordinaire, knowing them beats be recycled. But on your worst day, they couldn't mess with you. Never catch making tea in remembrance of you. Least they could do is give your fam a dime or two. This man gave his heart, this is what the y'all do. But yo, don't stress my ill. Word bomb, we got you. Tell by 10 I said what up. Wordy right next to you. From NYC to the D, with heavy hearts we miss you. Word God wish you were here. So until we meet again, just
there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about you. I keep my head to the sky, cause I know Fife's there too. When I get there, God willing, your music will move out of space. Dear, and y'all both left the mark, cause no one takes your place.
I'ma tell you, D-Town, throw it up. Dunno, my dudes. V Rich on the keys. My main man, DJ Rasta Roots on the beat. On the cuts, smoking needles, rhythm kids. Salute, ATCQ forever. Peace.
Yo, 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 what up, everybody? What up? This your boy, Reckless, in the building. I really need to get something that'll do that for me instead of me doing it. I don't know. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the Reckless Effect Podcast. This is your boy, Reckless, as I already said. I want to give a quick shout out to everybody that has been hitting me up and giving me so much just love and letting me know that they appreciate the podcast and that I love doing this, and I think that it's just so much fun, and I'm the type of person that likes to talk a lot anyway, so here I am, talking a lot. Anyway, I also want to shout out to the few people that cannot stop playing my joint that I played last week to end the show, Rock and Roll Baby. I got a few tweets and a few messages letting me know that they thought that this was just a hip-hop podcast, and the fact that I was so bold to put this rock joint on there. Listen, if you like it, you like it. If you love it, you love it. If you hate it, then all right, you hate it. I don't care. I wanted to put some music out there that needed the appreciation, and that album was just far beyond what I expected it to be. And I'm just so glad that my man's Yellow Wolf dropped that incredible piece of work. So, yeah, I'm just excited. Damn, my mic is all, like, acting strange today. Let me figure this shit out. Hold on one second. All right, and I'm back. So I was thinking maybe I should just cut that shit out, but nah, we're going to keep it a bean up in here. So, yeah, let me crack my beer right quick. So, ooh, yes. Now let's keep it going. So, yeah, this whole experience of bringing back the podcast has been just so much fun. Just so much fun. And in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to start phasing in some video. And I'm going to be bringing in some people, and we're going to have some real conversations. We're going to talk about everything. And my first guest will not be today, but my first guest, me and her, we go way, way, way the fuck back. And we are going to have a lot of fucking fun on this one. Stay tuned on that. It's probably going to happen in the next couple of weeks, but it's going to be a lot of fun. But anyway, let's get right into it. Some new fucking music dropped. And there was a lot of music that dropped, but this one specifically just tugged at the heartstrings, you know what I mean? Fife Dawg's Forever album. It dropped, and I stopped everything that I was doing just so I can hear this. And 6 years ago, for those who don't know, 6 years ago we lost one of the best to ever pick up the mic. Malik Taylor, aka the 5 foot assassin, aka the 5 footer, aka Fife Dawg, was one of the founding members of the legendary A Tribe Called Quest. Now, for those who know, you know. But for those who don't, let me show. ATCQ Tribe is regarded as one of the pioneers. No, they are regarded as the pioneers of alternative hip-hop, a genre that blurred the lines equally between funk, pop rock, jazz, soul, reggae, and even folk music. This set the stage and the standard for a new wave of hip-hop artists to come through that necessarily didn't fit in the other genre of hardcore and gangster rap, you know what I'm saying? Groups like the Jungle Brothers, De La Soul, Hieroglyphics, Farside, Digital Planets, Dos FX, Black Sheep, Atmosphere, fucking MERS, Living Legends, like, that set the stage for all of those legendary groups, in their own rights, legendary. But they all call Tribe the best group in hip-hop history, and you can put up a debate about any group in hip-hop history, and Tribe will stand head and shoulders above the rest. Maybe they can compete with, maybe the competition might be NWA, but that's a different conversation for a different day. Q-Tip, Ali Shaheed Muhammad, Jarobi, and Fife Dawg collectively created a sound so beautiful that others tried to emulate it, but it can't be duplicated. Check the rhyme. The group's debut album, People's Instinctive Travels and Paths of Rhythm, was given 5 mics by Source Magazine, and it was the first album ever to receive that honor. This is actually my favorite album. When the 25-year anniversary of the album came out, and they had the special vinyl set and the holograms and stuff, I ran. I hop, skipped, and jumped my big ass because it got pretty bigger. Anyway, that day that it dropped, I went to Dimple. Shout out to Dimple. Rest in peace. I went there and I bought it on vinyl. And I'm a huge, avid vinyl collectors. So I'm gonna put my Amazon wish list up on here. So if y'all want to support the podcast, support your boy, I'm just letting you know that's how you do it. Anyway, this album is my favorite. Next to Midnight Marauders, it flowed so magically and was one of the best sonically sounding albums of all time, in my opinion. And not a lot of albums then and even today have the same formula of cohesion that this album has. When I say cohesion, I mean from beginning to end, you feel it all the way through. It all works. It all just comes together. You know, comes together like butt cheeks, baby. That's all I'm saying. And with all the drama that surrounded the group, mostly between Fife and Tip, there was so much love in this group. There was so much beautiful energy. You may not have felt it on the Love album, but you felt it on everything else. And that's the crazy thing. And years ago, there was a festival called Rock the Bells, and to this day it's still my favorite festival that I've ever been to. It's the best hip-hop oriented festival, period, to me. You can say Made in America, you can say anything, but this shit was bar none, just head and shoulders, and it was just incredible. So that's kind of my beef with LL Cool J right now, but LL Cool J is still one of the greatest, and it's neither here nor there. But during the show that they had in the Bay Area, what was incredible to me was that I sit there and I'm waiting for Tribe, and they get out there and they fucking blow my mind. And it was just so incredible. Just the power, the love, the energy, the just overall like love that was shown on that stage and shown from them to us, and they felt it in return. And the thing that me as a young hip-hop enthusiast, you know what I mean, I'm sitting there just feeling this energy and I'm just loving it, and I look behind me and I see a wave of people just throwing their hands up in the air. And then when you hear, you know, just microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? And everybody is just vibing. It's just so incredible. And then to find out, when you watch the documentary, Beats, Rhymes, and Life, shout out to Michael Rappaport, that just a few minutes before they took the stage, they were in a physical altercation. That blows my mind. But at the same time, it's on brand. And it just made me think, like, damn, how much did they love this to just know that the most important thing was to go out there and put out that, to put on a fucking show for everybody. They put all their anger, frustration, and pain and love into that performance, and it was a masterpiece. It was incredible, and I will always cherish that memory. And it's just it's just sad to know that years later, as they were working in secret on this album, Thank You for Your Service, that he dies. And it was just so sad because he had received not one but two kidneys, and one of them was from his wife. If that's not love, I don't fucking want it. You know what I'm saying? Like, say what you want about, you know, your significant other and what you would do for them and blah, 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 blah. Nah, this woman laid her life down and was like, I love this man. Here, have a piece of me. That is beautiful. That is raw. That's just beautiful. And it sucked that we still lost him. But I'm grateful for the memories and the music. So how fitting that on the anniversary of his death, his final album, well, we don't know if it's his final, but it's his final album, was posthumously released and perfectly entitled Forever. This album features artists like Rhapsody, Redman, drops his genius on two joints. And by the way, if he's not in your top 20, top 25 MCs of all time, you're slipping. You're tripping. And I need to see that list. One day I'm going to make mine, and we're going to talk about it. And I can't wait, because I already got a lot of shit from my top 100 albums. And I, man, we're going to get into it one day. But anyway, that man deserves his flowers. Busta Rhymes is on here, another one that deserves his flowers and deserves to be on that top 20, top 25. And I'm only saying that because if he's anything lower, I need to see who's on your list. Maceo's on that album, and Q-Tip himself jumped on and remixed the joint that started the show, Dear Dilla, where Fife pens an open letter to his fallen friend, the genius, the legendary J Dilla. And it's beautiful to hear Q-Tip on there and still feel that love. And I know if you listen to the song, you feel that love from him. You feel that pain and that sadness. My brother's gone and I miss him, you know? And yeah, but the track that really got me, that really put a tear in my eye, was Round Irvin High School. And that was beautiful because his mom jumps on the track and takes a small feature. She's reciting these words to her son, and her saying, that this one line got me. Microphone has been checked. One. I love you. Wow. I just listening to it, it just gave me chills. And I just teared up. I was like, yeah, man. It's so beautiful and absolutely perfect for this album. Just a loving and touching tribute to this fallen genius, this angel. And this album is definitely a must listen, but it's definitely a must own. You know what I mean? You must own this, especially if you're a hip hop head or for any casual fan. This one has to be in just somewhere in your hall of records. It's incredible. I love it personally. It was very fun. So, rest in peace, Fife Dawg, and thank you for the memories. Thank you for your contribution to hip hop. Thank you for everything that you've done. And now we're gonna get into this joint. It's called Fall Back, and it's by Fife featuring Rhapsody. So I hope you all enjoyed this one.
Sounds so beautiful, don't you agree?
Yes, sir.
Be courtesy of crisis. You know what I mean?
Come on.
This how we do from New Yitty to the Bull City MC. Yeah. Check it out. White CL 550, ivory interior. Do it all for her, you random chicks are inferior. My starship's superior.
Fuck if you ain't feeling
her. Better bring on the haters, I'm saying the more the merrier. Condos in DC, the shine NY.
Wow.
Mansion in the A, as well as the Bay, sublets in Trinity.
Can we take the kids to Disney?
Whatever you desire, but first, enjoy Sydney.
Microwave meals?
Man, my chef game real. Word to M real, straight up, he know the deal. Countless vacations, Chick-fil-A Nation, Rubber La Chevelle, suit and tie when at crustaceans. Life is better,
and I'm loving it.
No more dialysis, mother, struggling. Family Guy, similar to Peter Griffin. Group of solo mission, they're the reason I'm spitting. Fall back.
Memories got me falling.
Fall back.
Memories got me falling.
Cause when it comes to my fam, I don't know how to act. Try front on Kinjack. Yeah. Fall back.
And I'm still sending my
fall love. Back. Cause when it comes to my fam, I don't know how to act. Try front on Ken.
Yo. Fife like the whip all white, I like it black. If I loan you money, believe me, I want it back. Days I'm spaced out, I want my ceilings like that. So I'm mentally preparing on how to invest in racks. I'm super protected, the squad is like a pack. Double A batteries, the homies don't hit back. But that energy and enemies, I don't invest in. I learned life short, the family here just trying to win. Rap want a Porsche, mama want a Benz. You ain't really boss if you ain't employing your friends. Counting on my blessings, praying over my shortcomings. I've been blessed, so I let it slide if you owe me something. You ain't getting over, I'm just being nice about it. I've been known to fall in love like a kamikaze. Just mean my heart big, that's the thing about me. So just know I love you deep if I let you
fall
me.
Back.
Memories got me falling.
Fall
love.
Back. Cause when it come to my fam, I don't know how to act. Try front on Ken Jack. Don't make me do it, fall back.
And I'm still sending my
fall
love.
Back. Cause when it come to my fam, I don't know how to act. Try front on Ken. Can't wait to help my unborn read their first book. A daddy's little girl asking daddy, what's a hook? Twin nieces in the loop. They say they love my LP. This joint not crying her. Uncle Fife, you got heat. Perplexed like Scooby. Laugh at their speech. Elated that they bringing home honors every week. For that I'm not shocked. As a parent, that's fly. But do it for yourself, baby girls, never I. Now it's worth the Mickey D's. Happy meal, extra fries. Toy and out of bag. Manga smoothie, apple pie. Spoil the seed. Long as they grades are on top. Bad behavior, equals Jordans in a box. I'm the provider, director, leader of the pack.
Yes.
Front all my fam, and out comes the captain of the ship. So I have no room to slip. Now honor that craft, I thank Jaja for the gift.
So we fall back, all the memories come back to me, flow right through me. Never ever basic, ordinary. We still feel you, please believe me. Hey Fife, diggy diggy, don't forget the love. Hey Fife, diggy diggy, don't forget the love. Sending my love.
Memories got me falling back.
Memories got me falling back.
Yeah.
And I'm still sending my love.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'd like to welcome you back to the TNT Hour. I'm your host, MCP, and I'm live in here with my good brethren, Fife Dawg.
Yeah, what's going on, boy?
Yeah, cool, fat. Everything blessed, man. Watch now. Real people talking all kind of stupidness out there.
That right there is just a beautiful, beautiful track. You know what? I think it's time to pour one for Fife. Where's that? Get some Jameson up in here. Yeah, I just want y'all to hear that. So to Fife, rest in peace, Fife forever. Ah, ooh, taste it. All right, let's get back in the shits. So about a week ago, I was scrolling through Instagram, and like I said, I had an idea for what I wanted this episode to be about, but this one post stopped me in my tracks, and it's from a podcast with Dave Chappelle, Talib Kweli, Yasiin Bey, the Midnight Miracle podcast. And on this episode, Dave Chappelle asked a question. And I'm going to play it for you. And I'm going to stop at the end of his question. And I'm going to respond. And I'm going to tell you my initial response when I heard this, and then I'm gonna play Yasiin Bey's, aka Mos Def's, response, and then we'll get into the shits. But this is the question.
You know, how do you keep a despondent person alive? Like, how do you make somebody want to live? Is there a thing that you can even do for someone like that? Seriously, if someone you love was actively, slowly killing themselves, what do you do?
So, how do you keep a despondent person alive? Now, personally, this is just how I thought. This is what I thought when I first heard the question. And for me, I felt like if there was someone that you know that is actively killing themselves, there's not much you can do because the motivation is there. The determination is there. Like, they are determined to end their own existence. They are focused on this one truth, this one thing that is on their mind. And, like, I've met people who have, who've gone through drug addiction, who's gone through so much, like, inner turmoil, and seen them just deteriorate. But the crazy thing is, I've seen them also have the most life. And it's weird. I have a friend, had a friend, who whenever you were around them, you just felt love, you felt positivity, you felt, you know, this great, like, immense energy that was just so raw that sometimes you're like, yo, you need to calm down, that's a lot. But it was still so beautiful to see, and it made you get up out your seat, it made you get out of the funk that you were in. But that person was also dying on the inside. They were in so much pain, and it was just like, wow, what the hell, what's going on, you know? And it was just so, so heartbreaking to find out that they were going through that, and then to find out that they killed themselves. Some people are really good at hiding it, but some people are just so just fed up with everything that it almost feels like there's nothing that you can do to turn that around, because you're so used to seeing so much life and so much love from them that you coming in to say anything means absolutely nothing. And that is why I felt like there's nothing you can do, because they're motivated, you know. And I know for me personally, there wasn't a lot to help me when I wanted to, you know, take my own life. There really wasn't. I was just so focused. And until this one thing happened, and it literally just saved everything. And I didn't think about that until I heard Yasin's response. So I'm going to play that for you. And I'll play as much as I can, because I'm not trying to, you know, pay anybody else. You know what I'm saying? But really, really dig what he's saying here.
You can do something beautiful for those people whenever you can.
Yeah. That's, you know what I mean?
How do you inspire somebody to want to live? Like, what's the example?
I think just by being kind to them, you know. I think one of the closest things that I have, a situation similar, is my friendship with Amy Winehouse. Because I had never...
You are.
Yeah, she was at an extreme point of her use at that time, you know. And she didn't really see a way out, you know. She was wrapped up in it. And I just spent time with her as much as I could when I was in Europe, you know, and we were in each other's space. But it was challenging because if somebody has an addiction like that, they're only around people that use at that level. So their social circle just immediately, it becomes so isolated that if you don't do that, you don't really see them, because they're not interested in, you know, it's not, and that doesn't mean that they don't love people or want to see people, but they, you know, they see people in spurts, because it's like, you know, they, it's, they're wrapped up in their thing, you know? Everything is about getting back to that. And there's certain people that, you know, they can't be actively in that state around. So if they're generally in that state, more often than not, they just stop being around people. And it's not to say that addicts are not kind to each other in that space too, but you know, the focus is always the same. It's kind of very impersonal kind of relationships, you know? They're very surface. So it's a rough one. You know, I mean, I think that's why I said, the first thing I said is just to pray for them and like whatever circumstance they're in, that, you know, that they come out of it on the better side. And if they do perish in that way, that, you know, that the Creator find mercy on them, you know? Let them perish in the best way possible. Because, you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is we're all walking in the same direction, you know? It's how you get there that matters most, you know? And then that's just the beginning. So you just pray. Like you said, Quali, is you can't control people. People have to be, you know, they have to be motivated from within themselves to make any change or do anything.
I'd say, ironically, accept them. Like, people feel accepted without judgment, and everybody comes to a place when they're like, well, maybe this isn't what I want. Maybe there's something to live for, and if you're accepting them and not judging them in that moment, you can talk to them in the moment when they're listening.
Yeah, that happened with me with Amy. She was just in the zone one night, and we were staying at the same hotel at the Key West, Quali. She had a room with all these people, and I was staying downstairs, and she broke out from them, and she said, I just want to hang out with you. So we kicked it, came back to my room, and she whipped out this aluminum foil situation, and I was like, what is that? And she was like, it's gear, basically. And I had never been, you know, up close to anybody using hard drugs like that, like, ever. She said, you're not a big drug person, are you? I said, no, I'm not. I said, I don't mind that you use drugs, but I mind that you use drugs, you know, basically.
Right, yeah.
And I said, I'm not gonna judge you. If you feel safe here, and I felt like it was better for me to be that oasis for her, because she, it was crazy around, and she called out for it. She was like, these people are like, I'm high, they high and crazy. It was like a dude just sitting on the floor. It was out of a movie. It was crazy. Like, you know, it was the dude just sitting on the floor at the door. When I walked in, there was like 15 people in there. I was like, is this dude like laying down in the middle of the floor at this party in this hotel? I was like, wow. She had just had to show us the height of her success, and she was on one. So yeah, you know, I hear what you're saying about him, no judgment. I was being candid. And she said something that was interesting to me too. She said, you know, doing drugs can be a bit boring. She said, because, you know, everybody around, all they want to do is talk about drugs. And she liked hanging out with me because we would talk about other things because we wasn't using drugs together. But at a certain point, Amy would break out because she was either high or she had to go get high. You know, she'd get high and be zoning out and just drift off.
And that whole story, there's more if you guys want to listen to it. It's on Apple Podcasts, Luminary channel. Yeah, you do have to pay for it, but you know, it's a great podcast to listen to, the Midnight Miracle Podcast. Anyway, that story, there's more to it, but it broke my heart, and it put like a tear in my eye. Because you so badly want that person to be happy, and to see them go through that type of struggle, and to know that this is the only thing right now in this moment that is going to make them happy, and you still support in the way that feels right to you without tearing them down and breaking them down and making them feel worse about their choice. That's just powerful as fuck to me. And I realized that the day I was in the hospital laying in bed, this is years ago, but when I was laying in bed, or laying on the gurney, it was just strange, because the one person that I did not expect to show up, showed up. The one person that, you know, was, I felt was a cog in that pain that I was feeling, showed up and showed me that you're not alone and everything is going to be okay. And then having, you know, certain other people that I didn't realize was going to miss me or need me just show up and didn't talk about it, but just let me know, like, hey, I'd miss you if you were gone. Like, that was extremely powerful to me. And then the day when things were really bleak, having someone step in and not know that their existence and that their attention actually, you know, helped in my, like, recovery of the mindset of wanting to end everything. It's strange how just being there and showing that type of love and energy, it how powerful that actually can be. And that is love. Love is not necessarily something that's why whenever you look up the word love in any type of dictionary, in all walks of life, when you ask anybody what love is, you're always going to get a different, like, definition and understanding of it. It's because we understand it so differently, because it's so complicated. And this right here was love, just unconditional. Like, I love you as a human being, and I want to be there for you and show you that love and compassion that you feel like you are not getting from your surroundings, and not even from your surroundings, but you're not getting it from yourself. That is love. That is powerful. That is something that I feel we all need, and we are losing out on that so heavily. There are so many people out there that just need love and compassion, and we don't have the time to give it to them. We don't have the time. We don't have the patience. We don't have the understanding. We don't have the we just don't have it. There are a lot of people that do not have it. I know I was with a friend once, and we were driving, and it was weird. It was actually just last year. I was in the car with a friend of mine, and, like, I look over, and off the freeway there is, like, just so many homeless people and so many tents, and it, like, really broke my heart. And I was like, man, I wish there was something that I could do. And this person looked at me and said, why? That's not your fault that they're poor. That's not your fault that they don't have, like, most of them are drug addicts. Most of them have this. Most of them are that. Most of them have the same opportunity that you have to continue. But look at you. And that it may sound like, yeah, well, that person's right. But at the same time, it was like, yo, that person's wrong. Because just because it may seem like they had the same opportunities doesn't mean that they actually had the same opportunities. That doesn't mean that they, you know, made the active decision. You know what? Fuck living in a home. Fuck getting a job. Like, it's not always like that. Sometimes circumstances just fall upon them and they make all the best decisions and shit just goes fucking wrong and things just happen. And what's strange to me is that, you know, okay, one time, this is a tangent, but it still goes to, like, this whole thing. One time I was at the club here in my city, and I went there by myself. I wasn't trying to, like, hook up with anybody or anything. I just wanted to get out of the house, and I just wanted to do something different. Instead of going to the bar, I decided to go to one of my favorite clubs and just hang out, listen to music, and just vibe. Maybe I can hear some new music and just, like, you know, get inspired, you know. And met up with a friend who was already there. Me and her, shout out to Alex, I miss you. We we had some drinks, we was kicking in, we was talking, and then all of a sudden, you know, I just felt like, you know, it's getting late, I should just get home. But I had a few. I was feeling myself, and I decided to leave. And I'm walking to the car, and I just needed to like catch a breath because I'm realizing like I'm faded. So I'm walking, and I see this homeless dude, and I forgot his name, but I'm gonna call him Bill. Actually, I think that was his name, but no. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I walk over and I look at him and I'm like, yo, is it cool if I sit right here for a minute? And he was like, sure, I don't own this. You can sit anywhere you want. So I sat down next to him and I just asked him how his night was. And we talked. And he was telling me so many things about like his life and why he ended up in this position and the things that he missed. And the things that he felt like he couldn't change, and the things that he really wished that he could. And we were talking and having like real conversation. So afterwards, I'm feeling better and I'm like, all right, cool. It was really nice to meet you. And I'm reaching into my pocket about to give him some money. And then he stops me and he says, nah, I don't need it. He said, your company and you treating me like a human being is more than I could have ever asked for, and I don't need anything else. Just thank you for validating my existence. And I didn't know how to respond. And I'm also the type of person that doesn't like to be touched, and I don't like to touch people. But he said, is it okay if I give you a hug? And I was like, yeah. Maybe the liquor was still running in me, but it was also like a really good moment. So I gave him a hug and it was just crazy to me. But about a few months later, I did see him again, but excuse me, but he wasn't in the same rags that he was wearing that night. You know, I mean, he still looked a little shaggy, but you know, he had on something nice. And I asked him, like, hey, how you doing? He was like, hey, I remember you. And he told me that after that night and after our conversation, he felt some sort of resurgence. And he went out and ended up getting a temp job that ended up turning permanent. And he's been saving his, excuse me, he's been saving his money so then he can go get his own place. And I was just like, wow. That's incredible. And I think about that, you know, I'm thinking about that while I'm listening to this, you know, to what Yasin was saying. And I realized that love is a lot more powerful than we realize. Like we know that love is powerful and that everybody deserves and that we all need it, but we don't really know the weight and the power that's behind it until we see it in action. When we see it with people who are going through something terrible and all they needed was a hug and all they needed was that extra bit of love, and then they got it. And then, the sky's the limit from there. But, you know, what's really sad to me is that there are people out there that don't have love for themselves. And as try as they might to figure that out and to understand that, they still lack that. They think they love themselves, but their actions prove otherwise. I know people who look at people who are in relationships and get sad because they're not in one. And it's like, yo, you shouldn't be sad that that person is in a relationship and you're not in one. You should try to fix the relationship with yourself, because nobody can take that away from you. That's invaluable. That is the most precious thing in the world, because nobody can take that from you. If you're consciously thinking like, I need somebody to love me, then you're looking for somebody to validate you when you should be the one validating yourself. And sometimes that's really, really hard. And I would highly suggest going to see a therapist or being surrounded by people who love themselves and that truly love you. Anyway, that's just me, you know, flapping my gums. But I just feel like we all need to get to a point where we find love for ourselves. And if we know somebody, or if you know somebody that is feeling away, feeling sad, feeling down, feeling low, and feeling like, or just not their normal selves, you know what I really want? Here's my advice to everybody out there. Check on your strong friend. Check on the person that you go to, because you have to really ask yourself, my go-to person, who do they go to? Maybe you can be that. Maybe you can be their go-to person. You know what I'm saying? You know, love is universal. Love is in a circle. You know, you have to be taught to hate. And it's hard to teach love. Love is innate. We just have to remember that shit. You know what I mean? Anyway. Well, the fact that I just played that clip and Yasin was talking about Amy, I got inspired to play this joint from her. And this is gonna be the song that is gonna help, you know, close the show. So this is my favorite song of hers, and I know it's a favorite to a lot of other people. So please, enjoy the smooth sounds of Amy Winehouse and Back to Black.
Oh,
beautiful Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. I just want to say thank you to everybody who listened to the podcast and who is, you know, just with the shits. I can't thank you enough for listening and for reaching out to me. So, news, real quick before I let this go. Did that train just shut the fuck up? Anyway, I will be, again, having guests come on to the show, and we're going to be talking about fucking everything. And I decided that I'm going to have an episode with a homie of mine that I've known since 7th grade. And when we were talking about what to talk about on the podcast, she literally said, anything goes, no hold barred. Like, we shouldn't even fucking prepare. Like, tell me when, I'll show up, and we'll just do it. And I was like, fuck, that's wild. And she's not a drinker, but I am. So I'm going to have some shots, and she's going to smoke. And we just, I don't know what the fuck is going to happen, what we're going to end up talking about. But we're going to get into some shits. I have a couple of other people lined up to do the show with me, so I'm really fucking excited. This is going to be a lot of fun going forward, and I'm going to eventually start recording and dropping videos and shit. So there's a lot coming, y'all. There's a lot fucking coming, and I'm very excited about it. So thank you again for tuning in. This is your boy Reckless, and to close out the show, we are going to just have one final goodbye to Five Dog. And instead of playing a track from the album like I was going to, I decided I'm just gonna, you know, hit you with a classic from A Tribe Called Quest. So here you go, enjoy. Peace out, love you guys, and I'll see you next week.
The 5 foot assassin with the roughneck business. I float like gravity, never had a cavity. Got more rhymes than the one that's got family. No need to sweat Arsenio to gain some type of fame. No shame in my game, cause I always be the same. Styles upon styles upon styles is what I have. You wanna just a fifer, but you still don't know the half. I sport New Balance sneakers to avoid a narrow path. Messing around with this, it can't size it up. I never have stuff, cause I'm not a half stepper. Drink a lot of soda, so they call me Dr. Pepper. Refuse to compete with BS competition. Your name is special ed, so won't you suckle with the mission? I never walk the street, think it's all about me. Even though deep in my heart, it really could be. I just try my best to like go all out. Some might even say you're shorty black, you're bugging out.
Zulu Nation, mother's last creation. Minds get flooded. Ejaculation, right on the 2-inch tape. The abstract poet incognito runs the cape. Not the best, not the worst. And occasionally I curse to get my point across. So bust the force as I go in between the grit and the dirt. Listen to the mission, listen, missions I do work. As I crack the monotone, chilling up the jazz, so get your own. Smoking R&B, cause they try to dupe me. Or the best of the back, but they can't do rap for us. Abstract, original, you can't get your own, and that's pitiful. I know I'd be the man if I cold yank the plug on R&B, but I can't, and that's wrong.
Sometimes you don't, it's just for mere satisfaction. People be hounding, always surrounding, posting, just like a migraine pounding. You don't really fret, you stay in your sense, camouflage your feeling of absolute tense. You're so off to another world deep in your mind, for people seem to take that as being unkind. Oh yo, he's acting stank, really on a regal? A man of the fame, not a man of the people. Believe that if you wanna, but I tell you this much, riding on the train with no dough sucks. Once again, a case of your feet in my Nikes. If a crowd is in my realm, I'll say,
Mike, please. Hip-hop is living. Can't yank the plug. If you do, the result will end up kind of low.
I am not an invalid, although I used to smoke the weed out. Ali Shaheed Muhammad used to say I had the V out. Scheming on the bookies with the crazy booming back buns. Pushing on the real hard just so we can have the big fun. When I left Marusi, I was Boulevard status. Battling the MC was when Tip was at his maddest. It was one MC after one MC. What the world could they be wanting to see from little old me? Do I have the formula to save the world? Or was it just because I used to swipe the women and all the girls? I'm the type of brother with the crazy extended hand, kid. This by all my brothers, I was all up with my man did. Supposed to be my man, but now I wonder cause you're feeble. I go out with the strongies and I separate the eagles. It's your brain against my mind. My nose about to boot out. Or your nasty kid is, even though you see I'm bug out.